What's up, my beautiful gemsters? Welcome back to another segment here on Gems Podcast. For those of you that are new to the community, welcome in. You are now gemster. I am the host, Miss Genesis Amars Kemp, and with me today is John Boyer. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who he is, and we're going to dive into a fun conversation. So if you're like me, grab your pen, grab a pencil or a piece of paper, or get out your phone and take some notes because you definitely want to capture these gems that will be dropped. So, John Lawyer, from a desert combat zone to a battle within, John Lawyer transformed from soldier to spiritual seeker. He acts as one of several guides for Kishar, a nonprofit online spiritual community for people to share their journey and explore their own unique spiritual path. John is an omnist and believes in the validity of great human thought from around the world and across time. He offers individual spiritual guidance and coaching services as part of the Kishar spiritual community. And I know you're probably wondering, like, what is Kishar? But we're going to get into that. So without further ado, let's welcome John Lawyer.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I love it, and I love the message that you put out in the world. Thank you.
My pleasure, John. And another thing I like to do is allow my guests to connect with the gemsters. So we could do that with either a rapid fire 10 question game or an icebreaker. What are you in the mood for?
Let's do the rapid fire. Let's try it out.
Okay, here we go, y'all. We're playing rapid fire with John and Genesis. Do 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 do. Question number one. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
I would like to be able to make more people more kind. I'd like to be around kind people, so I think that would spread kindness.
Okay. Question number two. What branch of the military did you serve in?
U.S. Army.
Okay. Question three. What is your drink of choice? Coffee, tea, or something else?
I drink a lot of water.
Okay. That's also good, y'all. Water is
Gotta
very
hydrate.
important. Yes, I have my Pellegrino on the side here. Question four. If you had the opportunity to trade places with someone for 24 to 72 hours, would you trade places and with who?
You know, it'd be tempting, but I gotta say no. I think it would be a really jarring experience.
Okay. Question five. What's one of the craziest things you've ever done in your life? It may be crazy to others, but it actually built your character.
I spent 6.5 consecutive years in Afghanistan, so that's probably the craziest thing I did. And 6 of those years, I didn't leave like Kandahar, so I stayed there the whole time
Oh
without
my
leaving. So
gosh.
it's probably the craziest thing I ever did.
Okay. Question six. What's a thrill-seeking adventure you like to do?
For a long time, it was just hang out in deserts and go to war. Now, that was my thrill seeking. You know, that was my kind of thrill seeking years. Now, I'd like to travel. I have to go places and see new things, and I don't do it as often as I should, but I really love it.
I like that. Question seven. If money was no option, where would you be headed?
I'd probably go. Like live in a like a Pueblo style house in the mountains, like Taos or somewhere out west, hang
Okay.
out in the mountains. Yeah.
Question eight. You get three random acts of kindness to do per day at minimum. What are your three to do for someone today?
The first thing I would do is be kind to myself because I think that's where it all starts. And then I would try to be kind to one of my family members in my nuclear family. And I would like to just project kindness on maybe just a random person out in the world.
Question nine. Are you into video games? And if so, what is your game choice?
I have played a lot of video games in my life. I've played everything from sports games to like Elder Scrolls Online and to like first person shooters like Call of Duty and stuff like that. Lately I'm not playing games, but that I played a lot of like Call of Duty Battle Royale during COVID, like maybe for 6 months straight, I think, because there was nothing else to do.
And question 10, it is the pass or play question, and here are the rules. If you pass, our roles are reversed, and you could ask me any question. If you play, I ask one last question to wrap up rapid Fire. So are you passing or playing?
I'll play.
Okay, last question. You just won the lottery. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. However, here's the kicker. In order to get your proceeds released to you, you have to donate to a charity first. What charity are you donating to?
I run a nonprofit, so I'd probably donate it to my own nonprofit. I don't feel bad saying that. I believe in what we're doing. So I'm gonna give the easy answer there and just say that I would donate to my own nonprofit.
Awesome. And thank you for playing Rapid Fire, audience. I hope you learned a little bit more about John Lawyer. Now we're gonna find out more about his nonprofit. So Keyshar, why the name Keyshar, and did I say it accurately?
Yeah, you said it great. That is absolutely how to say it. And it's named after the Sumerian goddess of Mother Earth, like Gaia. So it also represents the line on the horizon, which I think kind of beautifully encapsulate that journey that we're all on. You know, we're all on a journey.
Mm-hmm. So whenever you came up with this nonprofit, how hard was it for you to get to this point where you said, you know what, I'm going to start Keyshar Spiritual Community, and it's going to be for a bigger and higher good? What was the thought process behind that?
I knew it would be difficult because there's so much that goes into it. But I had a lot of resolve. I said, you know what, I'm going to work on this every single day. And that was over 2.5 years ago. And I've done that every single day. I've worked on it. And so I'm proud of myself for that. I'm proud of the co-founders that I founded it with for doing that. And it's a lot because it's administrative stuff. It's technical stuff. There's creative content. There's public speaking and, you know, talking to people just like you. So there's all this different types of stuff that are associated with it. And for me, I enjoy some of it more than others. Like, I really like talking to people like you, and I really like creating content. The technical stuff and the admin stuff, sometimes I don't love as much, but I've tried to like embrace the whole process and like that part of the journey as well, so that I can enjoy it along the way. I feel like I'm kind of living my higher purpose. I'm living what I was supposed to be doing. I want to help people help themselves. And so, like I said, it really has been a labor of love to kind of like make it work.
So your upbringing, because I also think it's very important that we talk about our upbringing, because it helps mold us and shape us. Even if we do stray away, we still know where to come back to the roots. So what was your upbringing like? Was your family spiritual or religious, or give us a little insight into that?
Sure. I grew up in rural Oklahoma, and my parents were pretty progressive and liberal themselves, but they had both come from pretty diehard Southern Baptist families on both sides. And so I was actually raised in the Southern Baptist church, even though my parents weren't super conservative or anything. So that was kind of weird. So like, I tell people now, like, I'm a universalist now, and like, I believe in the validity of all religions and spiritual philosophies, but I feel more Christian today, even though I'm not a Christian anymore, than I ever felt like in the Southern Baptist church growing up, just because it felt very political, and it felt like there were power plays, and there was just all this stuff that I didn't feel God as much. You know what I mean? So I struggled with that. I spent a lot of time in the hallway instead of being in Sunday school. I would get sent to the hallway with my Bible, you know, because I would ask questions or disrupt the Sunday school class. So, I had a kind of a tough relationship with church growing up.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's also a lot of people that could resonate with that, because a lot of people think that, you know, church is just the four walls, or it's inside the building.
Right.
When in actuality, I think the church is inside of you. How are you serving others? How are you being a disciple? How are you leading in it, et cetera? And I think sometimes with religion and saying, oh, you belong to a certain religion, it could also have certain parts where it takes people away from one another because of so many different brokenness or various translations or how people see things in a certain limelight, when in actuality, like, there is one God, even though you may have a different way of going about it. And I'll just say this example. So we have some really good friends of us, of ours. The husband is Muslim and the wife is Christian, and they have a child and they make it work. Whereas some people may think that's weird, but it may be weird to you on the outside looking in until you actually try it. Or my husband had some remnants of being raised Jehovah's Witness, and I'm like, heck no, no ham, no cheese, no turkey. I'm not doing that. And then my father was raised Catholic, and you know, and my mom was Lutheran, which is, I guess, the same as Anglican in a sense, because my parents are West Indian and South American, so they're raised differently. And I was like, okay, I'm non-denominational. I believe the word of God. I believe what's in the Bible, and that's just what works for me. And that's how me and my husband are now going to raise our children, based on that, because I feel like there's so many like back and forth or whatnot. And I'm not going to be arguing with somebody over what the word of God says. I'm just not going to do that. You believe what you want. I believe what I want. And that's why I liked it. You said, I'm not tied to any religion. And you mentioned you strayed away from Christianity. Do you want to highlight what caused you to stray away from Christianity?
It was mainly that like those man-made touch points in the dogma and the rules associated with, like you said, the four walls, the literal four walls. I still appreciate Christianity from like a mystical perspective, like Christ consciousness and that idea of it's in us, it's in each of us. And whether it's Christ or whether it's the Brahman of the Hindus or the Tao of Taoism or whatever it is, I see it all as very much the same. And so, I love the fact that, like, it seems like you and I understand that we can believe different things, kind of, but we can still sit or stand next to each other and kind of practice our philosophy or our belief or faith individually. I think it's a beautiful thing.
And respect one another. And then it also piques for curiosity, because if you find out another religion is doing something, I ask. Like, I just asked my husband's best friend. I was like, oh, you're in Ramadan right now. Tell me about Ramadan and et cetera. Okay, so when do you stop eating? When do you start eating? And then it also helps me connect with some of my co-workers who are in the medical industry, because they're practicing Ramadan. So I know, like, what to say, what not to say, how to do, and just be cognizant. And it, when you are aware of someone else's religion or what they believe and practice, it also shows that you respect that individual and you're not trying to push your own beliefs onto them, which can also sever the relationship that you were trying to build with that individual. Because, go ahead.
No, I love that, because it's about that two-way street of reciprocity. It's give and take. It is respecting and understanding others, because if we respect people and we understand them, we're going to have a richer, more full life together.
Mm-hmm. And another thing you mentioned is mind, body, and soul. And I think it's so important that we focus on the vertical, which is like how we're connected to our higher self and our higher beings, and then focus on the horizontal relationships, which are those lateral relationships with people who we extend our arms with and do life with. But I feel like sometimes we are so broken and we don't know who we are, so we fall victim of what the world wants us to be. So can you talk about what you mean by mind, body, and soul and the interconnection there?
Well, I love the way that you describe it as a vertical and a horizontal, because I talk all the time to people about like our real world, like lifestyle path every day, our day-to-day path intersecting with that spiritual path, which is, you know, kind of that vertical path. So I love that you describe it like that. I think it's perfect. And I think that if we understand that intersection and we're at peace with it and we're not resisting it or fighting it, that creates alignment between our mind and our body and our soul or our spirit or our higher self. And that's what spirituality is to me. It is that intersection. It's how do I be spiritual in this reality that I occupy? That's what being spiritual is to me. And so I think that is where you look at mind, body, and soul, and you say to yourself, I can't be spiritual, I can't have that inner peace and that joy if I'm not having those blocks of life around me settled and grounded and centered in my wellness and health and my sleep and relationships, finances, whatever you, however you look at it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think once that connection is there and it really solidifies who that individual is, then I think it allows them to tap into their God-given or their born purpose on why they were placed on earth, here on earth, because I feel like so many people are empty vessels. And y'all, when I say empty vessels, don't take it out of context. I mean, they're not fully complete because they haven't tapped into their purpose on why they were placed here on earth. And some people may not know what their purpose is, so they spend all this money talking to different people to show them what they were meant to do, when in actuality, they kind of just sit, get still, and quiet, then they will find out what their purpose is. So can you talk about, I know you mentioned Dharma, I read that recently, the higher purpose, so Dharma, and how we find it. Because I feel like in order to really unlock the keys to your destiny, you need to know who you are, what you were created for, and where you're headed.
Oh, that's everything. I mean, you just said everything. That is it. I spend most of my time talking to people about higher purpose of Dharma, like, because I think, like you said, we each have our own purpose in life, in the universe. And so if we don't know what that is, we need to get a sense of it. And then once you get a sense of it, okay, you can narrow it down. And then is that then aligned with how you live your life? Like, because if we're not living our life in alignment with our higher purpose, then we're absolutely missing out 100%. And I'm all in with that with you. And I probably spend most of my time. In fact, sometimes I call myself a student, but I'm also a spiritual guide, and I call myself a higher purpose coach. That's a lot of what I do, because that's what it is. And it's helping people help themselves find it and know it and be empowered within it. And it doesn't take a lot, and then they can kind of take off on their own and keep going with it, you know?
So in your personal life, I want you to think back, like, how long did it take you to find your purpose, and what was that process like for you?
I think I've lived my purpose twice in my life, and once I didn't know it. And so when I was in the Army, when I was part of that military industrial complex machine, I was living my higher purpose. I didn't realize it, but I was like all in it. I was 100%. I was like an artist or a scientist, completely dedicated to the mission. Like, that was like my whole being. And so I was living my higher purpose, didn't know it. It wasn't the best higher purpose because it was part of this war machine. But now, you know, eventually I kind of had my spiritual moment of clarity or awakening or whatever you want to call it about 2.5 years ago. And that's when a bolt of lightning hit me, and I'm like, oh, now I know, like, in my head, I know exactly what my higher purpose is. It's to help people help themselves find their wholeness inside, find their light, you know, move down their path. So suddenly I knew why I was here, and I was living it intentionally and have every day since. And so that happened about 2.5 years ago, completely changed my life.
Wow. And I like the fact that you said a spiritual awakening, or some people may say a gut instinct or a life circumstance or whatnot, will help you alert something within your body and wire up that core inside. And whenever that core inside gets hot, it's like your body telling you it's time to take a different path, or it's time to take to a different beat. And for me, one of the things that helped me tapped into my purpose, which is like the podcast and bringing gems, was losing my dad almost 3 years ago to medical negligence. Because had my dad not passed the way he did, I wouldn't have went through the grief journey as much as I did. And yes, I was grieving before, whenever I lost my cousin, who was like my little sister, and some other people. But when you lose a parent, and the relationship that you have with that person you lost begins to take you down a spiral. And I also lost my job from oil and gas and switched careers. Now I'm in medical industry, so I'm doing a higher good based on what happened to my dad. I got into the medical industry so I can assure certain things never happened to other people the way that it did for my dad. And it wasn't due to COVID. It was also due to the fact that COVID was new. We're at this pandemic, but what about the people who were in the hospital who didn't have COVID? Where did their care come into place? And, you know, sometimes it's the craziest, the muckiest, or the effed up situations in life that make you appreciate who you are and what you have and what tools and modalities you can use to help other people. And whenever you begin to help other people, then you begin to say, okay, I know what my purpose is. Because your purpose is not solely tied for you. It's tied to how can you extend your arms and your reach to leave an imprint that's going to drive an impact for today, tomorrow, and future generations to come. So I wanted to share that. Does any of that resonate with where you are, John, and where Keyshar is, and some of the things you've gone through in your life? Do you see any synergies?
Yeah, that resonates with me deeply. And thank you so much for sharing that. And like, I love when people can be vulnerable with each other and share. And yeah, I think that period of darkness that you have, I think a lot of people that find their way have gone through that period of difficulty, because that sometimes seeing that darkness gives you contrast to see the light. And I think your journey is a journey that I can relate to. And I think a lot of other people that have found the light and found their purpose have gone through. And that's important too, because that means we're growing. We're taking something that could have really set us back, sent us in a different direction, destroyed us or whatever, and we're using it to evolve and become a person that our people along our path would probably appreciate. And I do believe that if you suddenly look within and you live your purpose and you're like, I'm going to do this for me and I love myself, then you go out into the world, you're going to lift up everyone around you. You're going to lift up all those people around you. You make the world a better place.
Yes.
And so it starts with you, and then it extends to everyone else around you.
And I would also say, give yourself grace during the pain to purpose journey, because it's not always going to be the easiest, but things that come easy and quick in life, that you lose them quickly. But things that take time to cultivate, you appreciate it longer, because what you have to go through in order to get to where you are, the go through to the get through, is kind of how I say it. So I want y'all to keep that in mind whenever you're thinking about your mind, body, and soul connection, whenever you're thinking about your pain to purpose journey. And when you're thinking about, okay, should I start a nonprofit or should I go volunteer with this group so I could kind of get a feel? Is this something that I want to do? Is it time to switch industries? Like, is it time to, you know, sit down and recalibrate? Because I like to tell people in one of my books, well, my book that I wrote by myself, I have the three F's. The three R's, sorry. Refuel, refocus, and realign. How do you refuel yourself? How do you refocus? And how do you realign? And that can pair with what John's talking about with Keyshar spiritual community, because you need all of that in order for your spiritual self to be whole and complete. Because if you're not whole and complete, your spiritual man or your spiritual woman is not going to be in check. So how can you minister to somebody else when you're still broken? And the world, you know, or God or Allah or whatnot came to save sinners. It didn't come to save perfect people. So if you're broken and imperfect, share your flaws and vulnerability, because you never know how the person that you come in community with and connection may have gone through something similar. Recently, I shared how my husband and I lost our second child when I had a miscarriage. I had no idea that my body face a miscarriage. And then I live in Texas. So with this new whole abortion law thing, I'm like, I didn't have an abortion. The baby died inside of me. And it's been 3 weeks since my dead fetus is inside of me. I need to have surgery before it gets worse. And whenever I start to share with other women what I went through, they're like, oh my gosh, I went through a miscarriage, or I lost a child or whatnot. And it created a vulnerable conversation that brought us together based on loss that we suffered, no matter where this woman was in the world. So what have you gone through where you could stand up? Like, I'm sure John has seen some gruesome things some of us have never seen, being in Afghanistan, but it opened his eyes and his mind to realize maybe some of the other things that's going around in the world. So feel free to just comment, John, there. This is our conversation.
No, that's a powerful share. And yes, be vulnerable. Talk about, you know, I went to war and I saw all this horrible stuff, and I saw horrible things, like horrible things were done to me. I did horrible things to other people. I can say that out loud. It's hard. And if you've had, you know, so that I can tell people, if you're going through trauma, if you're walking in the dark, you don't have to be alone. I always want to tell people, like, it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to have a community. It's okay to not, you don't have to be lonely in a spiritual path or journey. You don't have to be lonely in a healing path. Sometimes it will necessarily be lonely, but reach out and figure it out with the help of others. I think sometimes we get lost in the noise and we forget that communities exist in today's world. They can exist in the 21st century, you know?
Yes. And another thing I want to say, because you talked about trauma, remember, your trauma is not supposed to trump somebody else's trauma. Trauma is
Exactly.
trauma, no matter where they endured trauma, how they endured it, or whatnot. Because the minute that you try to say that what you went through is worse than what somebody else went through, you can never walk in that individual's shoes to really understand the dichotomy behind the trauma that they face. So never think that your trauma is any better or worse than somebody else's trauma. At the end of the day, trauma is trauma, and how it impacted and how that person reacted to that trauma and how they dealt and moved past it is very, very key. And we need to stop tearing other people down and build community and do life together. We weren't meant to do life alone. We're meant to do life in synergies, in connection, and get back to humanity. I feel like today's society, everyone is for themselves instead of being for one another and looking out for the better good and making this world a better place. So really keep that in mind and challenge yourself today to really link arms with somebody else and say, how can I help you? Even if you don't even know what they've been through, just be a listening ear, be a sounding board, and don't try to strip them down from what they went through.
Yeah, all of that. I love that you say don't compare trauma. It just and have, like you said, there's grace. You got to have grace for yourself. You've got to say, you know, it's okay to have felt this. It's okay to feel what I'm feeling now, you know. And like you said, move forward, find a way, and prop yourself up, prop other people up. It's a process.
And I want to throw you an audible here, John, to see, is there something that I didn't ask you, whether it relates to Kishar, anything spiritual wise, that you want to share with the Gemsters to like just boost them and encourage them in their walk?
Sure. I always try to tell people we have more time than we think. So don't get overwhelmed and take time each day, because there's a lot of time in each day. So take solace in that. Realize that. Also, like, we're not perfect in this reality we all walk through together. Like, you're probably, there's perfect inside, that divine thing inside, the self or God or whatever you want to call it. But in this world we're all hanging out in, there's no perfection. So don't try to be perfect. Just be good. Sometimes be great. It can be okay. And start with yourself, love yourself, and then it will radiate out from there to other people. So
I love that. And I would also challenge them. I'm big, big, big on challenges, is to do something that you have not done. Like whether you take a painting class or you go to a HIIT, which is high intensity interval training, go for a walk. Maybe if you're not a drinker, you could do happy hour. There are places that have food happy hours and not alcohol happy hours. So keep that in mind, or just do something that maybe outside of your element that actually challenges your creativity. Because when you're creative and those juices are flowing, it also helps you open up your body more to be able to receive things that you would not have thought were possible.
Absolutely. Go explore.
And I guess that came to mind because I was looking at that beautiful painting in the back right there. It kind of reminds me of painting with a twist, with the sunset, the clouds, and all that. So now let's jump into the CTA. It's the call to action part of the segment. And I want you to give your personal homework to the audience, because what good is listening to us if they're not going to take what they heard and apply it? And then let them know how to stay connected with you.
Yeah, I would say, as far as like homework, just go out and take some time for yourself. Say, like, try to be still, just chill out and think about what you want and need. And are you giving yourself that? And are you open to the fact that if you do that, you're going to be better off for all those people around you? So I would say go check that out. Take some time and reflect on it. As far as how to reach us, our website is kishar.org. It's kishar.org. That's the entrance to our community. Our monthly membership, we have one-on-one individual coaching and guidance. We have a pretty cool YouTube channel that you can check out. Our spiritual, Kishar Spiritual is our social handle. And so if you do at Kishar Spiritual, you'll be able to check us out on social media. So hit us up on our website, send us an email, DM me on Instagram, you know, just come check it out and, you know, be part of a community, and let's figure this stuff out.
And do y'all have any big gives or ask, anything that the community is looking for right now, like any donations or anything that will help y'all move the needle forward?
You know, we're a nonprofit. None of us take salary. And so anything that goes into the monthly membership, anything that goes into the individual coaching packages and stuff, all that money goes back into the community, to the members, and to help people out, to grow. And we're just trying to give back to the world. So
there you have it, Gemsters. Remember, it's better to give than receive. So if you feel led or compelled, make sure you you can do a love offering or a donation to Keyshar Community or become one of their members to stay connected. And even if you don't want to be a member, maybe there's someone that you know that could benefit from this. Maybe pay a month of the membership for them or a year membership and be a blessing for someone else. My big ask is for brand sponsors. It does take monetary donations to fuel the mission and movement behind the show, which is to consistently bring content that is educational, inspirational, and motivational, while also weaving in my personal favorites, which are DEIB, which stands for diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, because it takes all of us coming together to make this world a better place. So if that interests you, reach out. My email will be in the show notes along with John's contact information. And I challenge you to love on somebody today, but most importantly, love on yourself and never forget who you are, where you're going, and what your purpose is, because you are here to be a light to illuminate darkness. So don't ever let somebody put your light out. So until the next segment, peace, love, and lots of blessings. Have yourself an amazing day and give yourself a big hug because you deserve it.